You are Locked On Colts, your daily Indianapolis Colts podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back into your latest episode of Locked On Colts, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today, as always, your host, Evan Sutter, joined once again by Stephen Reed of Stampede Blue, as we are finally concluding our positional preview series, Stephen. Over these last couple weeks, we've been diving into the entire roster pretty head-on here over every position. We are now in part six, I believe, of our positional previews, and it's ending today, right before training camp begins for the Colts tomorrow at their first practice. And it's going to be on linebackers and defensive backs for the Colts. So it's wrapping up the defense here. Stephen, how are you doing today as the Colts officially report for training camp today?
Hey, Evan, I'm doing well today. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great because I came to the realization, Stephen, that from this point on, for the next 5 to 6, potentially if all goes well for the Colts to make a Super Bowl run, the next 7 months, at least 5.5 to 7 months, every single week, we're going to be having Colts content for everyone. So I'm excited. We've reached that point now.
Yeah, seriously. It's so refreshing to be talking about football.
Oh, I know. I can't wait to dive in. We're finishing up our positional previews today, and we're going to be diving in throughout the week here on practice notes and then eventually preseason games and eventually regular season games. So it's going to be a lot of fun here on Locked On Colts. We're back to daily podcast here. The offseason is officially over now. But let's dive into our last part of our positional preview, Stephen. And the first up is going to be linebackers. This is one of the stronger positions on the Colts roster. We're going to hit on, obviously, the two starters first and dive into the depth for a little bit as well. Obviously, the big name here on the list, Stephen, Darius Leonard. He is due for a contract extension. We've heard from Adam Schefter last week that the Colts and Darius Leonard and his team are in talks for a 4-year contract worth over $19 million per year. I would have to imagine probably around $19.5 million per year for a guy like Darius Leonard over 4 years would be the highest paid linebacker in NFL history and the highest annual value for a linebacker in NFL history. What's your thoughts on Leonard heading into year 4 and potentially a guy who's going to be getting a contract extension here soon for a huge amount of money?
I mean, he's gradually gotten better every year. You always worry about a little bit with the injuries and the concussion issue that he's had in the past. But he's worth every penny if they decide to go that route. I don't think that he's going to become the highest paid because I think Fred Warner is going to be making a little bit more than he is. But he's going to be right up there, and it's going to be worth it. Darius Leonard is such a vocal leader on this defense, and you hope that everything goes well for him this year health-wise and that there aren't any setbacks, so he'll be able to meet the contract that I'm sure he's going to hopefully be signing here pretty soon so the Colts can get some clarity on that cap situation going forward.
If you had to put one area of Darius Leonard's game needs to improve in year 4, he's a pretty flawless linebacker prospect. As we all know, he's a top 5, top 3 linebacker in the NFL, going to be paid like one as well here very soon. But what's one area to you, Stephen, that Leonard needs to really hone in on year 4? Because he's nearly perfect all around, elite speed, elite awareness, elite ball skills. But to me, I feel like kind of rummaging through the trash around the line of scrimmage, so to say, is one area he needs to work on. And maybe adding Quiddy Pay to the mix now with DeForest Buckner, Grover Stewart, may makes it more easier now for the infrastructure around Leonard so he doesn't have to do a lot of that dirty work. But, man, if Leonard can just become a little bit more aggressive and be able to shed off blocks quicker, he's a lighter linebacker, around 215 pounds. But, man, he can be a guy that if he can eventually master that technique, he's a 150-tackle guy to me every year at this point. He's fully healthy.
Yeah. He doesn't have a lot of holes, that's for sure. He's fast. He's a run and hit style linebacker. So I don't know if there's any major things for him. He reacts so quickly to the ball, and he's got great ball skills. Like you said, maybe getting through the weeds a little bit better might be a good place for him. Getting a little bit more in the classroom and being able to spot things a little bit quicker, but he's already he's been able to rely so much on his speed and athleticism that it hasn't really mattered. And so I think that he's going to be solid going forward. I don't think there's a lot of holes to his game. which is why he was Defensive Rookie of the Year and two-time All-Pro. So I don't know what he has to work on. He's such a good player. Maybe be a little bit better in coverage, but he still makes plenty of plays in coverage. So, anything that he'd have to work on is just a minor incremental thing versus, something that's a little bit more major.
That's a very valid point there on Leonard. We don't have to spend much time on him because we all know like how special of a player he is, how valuable he is to this Colts team. He's going to be handsomely paid like that for them here very soon. One of the more interesting guys, though, in this linebacker core who's going to be expected to take a big leap this year in his third season is Bobby Okereke, who was splitting reps with Anthony Walker last year, kind of took over halfway through the season for Walker as he kind of went into more of a Sam role, exclusively rundowns. But Bobby Okereke is a great run defender, great in pass coverage as well. And his length. He actually has longer arms than Darius Leonard. Those two together really take up a lot of the middle of the field. And that duo, I think, is just in a science lab built together to really flourish together. So what's your thoughts on Bobby Okereke heading into year three, where for all indications, this is a guy who should be 100-plus to 120-plus tackle guy this upcoming season?
I think this is a year that Bobby Okereke really makes that next step, where he puts himself on the Pat McAfee path to the Hall of Fame. I think that this is the year he makes the next step. He's gradually gotten better every single year. And now with Anthony Walker gone, he's going to get a lot of opportunities there to really show what he can do. And he's faster than Anthony Walker. He's just as smart. He's just as physical. So I'm really excited for Bobby Okereke and what he can bring to the Colts this year. In this defense, I think the linebackers, the starting two linebackers, I feel very confident in their abilities, and I would probably put them in the top five in the league, and would feel pretty comfortable with that.
I agree with you there. I mean, honestly, if Okereke takes the lead that we expect him to, if Darius Leonard maintains his all-pro production, that could be a top three, top two, maybe top one linebacker core, Steven. I would not be shocked at all if we have a surprise breakout year from Bobby Okereke, where he's a Pro Bowl linebacker. I mean, Jim Irsay's mentioned it. Chris Bowers mentioned it. Like, they have super high expectations for Bobby Okereke. And I remember last year, Irsay mentioned Okereke in the same sentence as Leonard and Nelson. So, like, they internally, the Colts have massive expectations for this guy.
Oh, for sure. And I don't think those are unwarranted. I think that that's – they have these massive expectations, and I think that those are ones that are realistic and ones that he can meet.
Let's go ahead and dive into the depth now, Steven, of this linebacking group. We hit on Leonard, we hit on Okereke, a very solid duo who should be together for a very long time in Indy. But the depth behind them, let's talk about maybe Sam linebacker first. Who's going to be taking that kind of rundown role when need be? We have Matthew Adams, Zaire Franklin, EJ Speed. Who do you favor out of those three guys? We know throughout OTAs, it sounds like Zaire Franklin's getting most of those reps. He's entering his contract year, seventh round pick out of Stanford. Same draft class as Matthew Adams, seventh round pick as well. And EJ Speed, who's flashed a little bit in preseason from time to time, but kind of just mainly a special teams guy. So what's your thoughts on those three and the potential training camp battle for that Sam spot?
I'll be honest, I'm not sure. I think you'll probably see Zaire Franklin kind of seize hold of it if he's given the opportunity. I wouldn't be surprised to see EJ Speed take another step because, again, kind of like what I mentioned with Bobby Okereke and even Darius Leonard, every year he gets a little bit better. EJ Speed really is kind of, no pun intended, getting up to speed to what they offer in the NFL versus where he had what he got at Tarleton State. And so that first year was, I'm sure, a wake-up call to him. And he showed a couple good plays here or there. Last year he was able to get in, made some key special team plays. And I think this is kind of similar to how people will forget that Robert Mathis didn't play a lot when he first got here out of the six out of, I think it was Alabama A&M. But he started off on special teams, only played sporadically those first couple of years, and then really took a leap in that third year. I think you could potentially see that with EJ Speed if he was able to have a good offseason. Again, we don't know how these guys have trained this offseason. This year was kind of similar to last year. There's a lot of people in the dark on what players did, players weren't. In the offseason stuff, they're not really allowed to be at the facility anyway. But with OTAs and all that, you didn't really get to see a lot. So I'm interested to see how he develops. And if he's come along, I could see him taking that role from Zaire Franklin and Matthew Adams. But I think it's probably between Franklin and Speed there for that Sam linebacker.
Jordan Glasgow is mainly a special teams ace. Really, I have not seen him ever get much reps throughout his rookie year at linebacker. Just mainly an elite gunner, and that's why the Colts drafted him in the first place. But last point here on the linebackers before we dive over to defensive backs. And the big question, we hung this in the last episode as well last week, Stephen, but I feel like honestly, just the more I thought about it and hearing more from guys like Zach Kiefer and Stephen Holder of The Athletic and Kevin Bone of 107.5 Cincinnati The Fan, it sounds like Ben Banigou wasn't even in the top five or six for defensive ends heading out of OTAs, which is not a good sign for maybe what could be in training camp. I'm kind of curious to see if the Colts maybe go back on what they saw when they first drafted Banigou, try to maybe save his spot a little bit on the roster and have him go against some of the guys as Sam linebacker. What's your thoughts on that idea? Because it feels like to me, if Banigou doesn't get any run at linebacker, I'm feeling more and more of the camp that he's probably going to be a cut candidate when we get through the end of the preseason.
I would love if they gave him a shot at linebacker. He's got the athleticism and speed. If you saw the training camp or the entrance pictures coming in, it looks like he's slimmed down a little bit. And if he's worked on his speed and just kind of cutting weight and kind of toning up, he would be a really good strong side linebacker in this defense specifically, because he is fast. He is athletic. He can make plays. If he slimmed down to where I think he did, I could see him making an impact there. I would honestly, if he gets the opportunity, I would probably prefer to see him over somebody like Zaire Franklin or EJ Speed at that Sam linebacker. But yeah, it would, if they're not going to give him some run at defensive end, I think they're going to try him at linebacker, like you said. And if he can't cut it there, then he's a traitor cut candidate. But I would really like for them to give him a shot at that strong side linebacker.
One more thing at linebacker here, Steven. This is why I think it's so important for both Leonard and Okereke to stay healthy, however that may be throughout this season, especially with the extra added on regular season game, is that if either of these guys go down, they don't have the luxury of Anthony Walker anymore as a third legit starting NFL linebacker. Behind them, they have really no depth, no starting experience for any of these guys. And that's why I think both these guys in Okereke and Leonard are so indispensable for this defense, where if they do miss time for multiple weeks, this defense could be looking a lot different not wanting them out there.
Yeah, I mean, you've got some guys like EJ Speed showed flashes in limited time last year. Sky Moore is coming back from opting out last year in COVID. He was on and off the practice squad 2 years ago, so I don't know how he is. Malik Jefferson's got a lot of experience out of Texas. He's a guy that I thought the Colts should have drafted back that first draft of Chris Ballard. Or maybe the second draft, I don't remember. But they've got players, but you're right, though. That drop-off from Leonard and Okereke to EJ Speed, you know, potentially Ben Banigou, you know, any of the other guys, it's pretty marked. And so you don't really want to it really is paramount that those guys stay healthy.
Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season's in full swing, or track all the action over Bet Online. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC MMA action. For the next pitch, over to Bet Online, your laptop or mobile device, and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. It's your chance to get into the game as teams prepare for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use mobile device right now, sign up today, and receive your 50% off welcome bonus, your first deposit. Again, it's 50% off your first deposit Bet Online when you use the promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Let's go to the defensive backs now, Steven, to wrap up our second half of our show. And first we'll go with safeties, and it's this young duo in the back end that's really starting to really gain some chemistry together. Julian Blackman, who had a breakout rookie year, and then Kari Willis, who had a strong sophomore campaign as well. These two guys now entering into a full season together at free and strong safety. What's your thoughts on these two heading into the 2021 season, where both these guys have Pro Bowl potential? And I think, honestly, Julian Blackman, and Chris Bauer mentioned this offseason, I think the Colts internally believe Julian Blackman could take another leap forward to being a potential all-pro safety.
Julian Blackman's got that potential for sure. He's such a playmaker on the back end. He's such a ball hawk. He's what they had hoped Malik Hooker would be back there in this cover two defense, but Malik Hooker just didn't ever felt comfortable in it. And good luck to him. He signed with Dallas today. So good luck to Malik Hooker in with the Cowboys. Julian Blackman, though, I think is a much better fit. He's able to come up, make plays, make tackles. He's able to, you know, make plays in the backfield. He's able to, you know, make plays in the passing game. Like that's what you want. He causes turnovers. Kyrie Willis is such a smart player that he's never out of position. So you've got two safeties that are smart and reliable, and that's what you want in your safeties. You just don't want them to get beat deep. And Blackman and Willis, I just don't see them getting beat deep very often. They don't get fooled very often. They're both smart players. They're both, you know, they can be playmakers when they need to be, Julian Blackman especially. And I think with the, and this kind of as a cascade effect, it compounds with the increase of talent at the defensive end position that I think the Colts are going to get this year, with Quiddy Pay there and, you know, Tyquan Lewis potentially there at the other defensive end. Quarterback's going to have less time to throw. That means safeties are going to get an opportunity. Corners are going to get an opportunity to make plays. And I could see Julian Blackman really kind of taking a step up and being a much better, like Antoine Bethea style of safety there for the Colts there on the back end, like a more athletic version of Antoine Bethea.
It kind of feels like to me, Stephen, even after his rookie year, like you can obviously mention it from Darius Leonard, Kenny Moore, DeForest Buckner. But outside of that, I feel like Julian Blackman's already reached a point where he's like a top four, top five most important Colts defensive player, hasn't he?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I've run through my head. I'm looking at probably, you know, Leonard, Buckner, Grover, Okereke, and then Blackman Pay right there. Those would be my top six, I think, off the top of my head. And then, yeah, beyond that, like, yeah, Julian Blackman's right up there. He rocketed up there too. Like he got his playing time after Malik Hooker went down, and then was able to just make it happen. So he made the most of his opportunities, and the Colts are super high on him in the draft. So they were really excited to get him. They've talked him up ever since. And you know, Chris Ballard doesn't talk up a lot of guys, but when he does, your ears kind of perk up. And you know to keep an eye on him.
Kari Willis, his partner there at strong safety, really improved in his sophomore campaign for the Colts, entering in the year three now. Kind of feels like to me, Kari Willis, almost like Bobby Okereke, is a sneaky player to where I would not be surprised me at all if he had close to 100 tackles this year. He's so reliable. He's so consistent as a tackler as well. I think his ball skills also flashed a little bit last year, especially in game against Vegas and Detroit, I believe. What's your opinion of Kari Willis entering the year three, where he could really start to emerge as a very underrated safety in the league?
I think you hit it kind of spot on there. He's a very underrated safety in this league. He's smart. He's disciplined. He doesn't get caught out of position. He is more of a downhill safety than he is one that's going to be a center field type. He can make plays on the ball when he has to, but it seems like he feels a little bit more comfortable with everything when it's in front of him. So, I could see Kari Willis really, again, he last year getting more playing time, took another step forward. It's kind of the incremental step forward that you see with a lot of these players that Chris Ballard drafts, is they're able to produce, they're able to do something there in that first year, and then they get better in that second year, and they get even better in that third year. So hopefully Kari Willis keeps along that path, and that he's able to take another step forward in his development. And based on his discipline, his intelligence, and the way that he plays, the physicality that he can play with, I feel really comfortable with Kari Willis and saying that he's going to take the next step.
Behind Blackman and Willis, Stephen, they have two Sean Davises, the veteran from Pittsburgh, the rookie fifth-round pick out of Florida. They have all-pro special teamer George Odom as well. What's your thoughts on the depth at safety behind them? Where it wouldn't surprise me at all, honestly, with how much I expect them to play three safety looks this year. Where they keep all five of these guys in the roster.
Yeah, I really like their depth, honestly, at the safety position. Both Sean Davises, they offer a little bit different kind of style. And, you know, having George Odom right there, mainly on special teams, but he can step in and play safety if he needs to. I really like what they've got there at the safety position. And don't sleep on Roland Milligan making the roster again. You know, he's a guy that just kind of sticks around. And so I feel really good about their depth at the position. But the Sean Davises are interesting because the rookie Sean Davis offers more of that, I think, Julian Blackman style. The veteran Sean Davis offers more of that Kari Willis style. I think they've got guys that if there is, you know, an unfortunate injury that happens, they've got somebody that can step in. And I don't think the drop-off between the safeties is quite as huge as the drop-off between, you know, Darius Leonard and Okereke and then that second-tier linebacker versus what it is here at the safety position.
This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's not possible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers and access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. You can choose to spend 30, 50%, or even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership. They're a family-owned business serving auto parts customers online for the last 20 years. They have everything you need as well, like brake parts, tune-ups, motor oil, and even new carpet. Go to rockauto.com right now and see the parts good for your car or truck. Write Locked On in the How'd Your Boss box so know we sent you over there. They have a main selection, reliable prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Colts fans, go to rockauto.com right now and write Locked On in the How'd Your Boss box.
Let's go to cornerback now to wrap up the show, Steven. And the first one is obviously going to be CB1 on the outside, and that's going to be Xavier Rhodes. Had a breakout year, his best PFF graded year of his career in Indianapolis' zone-heavy scheme. They re-signed him on a one-year deal, which I thought was a steal, almost the exact same annual value as Kevin King got in his re-signing with Green Bay, which is absolutely, I think, a fleecing what the Colts did for getting Rhodes back on that value. I think Rhodes is a player, once again, where they would not shock me at all if he continues to build off of his year last year, even more comfortable now in his defense in his second season. I mean, Pro Bowl, I think, couldn't be out of the question for Xavier Rhodes. If he improves his ball skills and gets back to those numbers we saw in Minnesota, I don't know if it's going to happen in this kind of scheme, but he was a lockdown corner for them last year at points, and it wouldn't surprise me again seeing that happen again in 2021.
Yeah, I don't see any – he didn't show any signs of slowing down last year, so I don't expect him to slow down this year either. The defense has gotten better as a whole. I think you're going to see a lot of, like I mentioned before, with the safety position, you're going to see the corners get a lot more opportunities because the pass rush is likely going to be better this year than what it was last year. And so Xavier Rhodes is one of those guys that takes advantage of the opportunities that he's given, and he will take advantage of the quarterback's mistakes when they have to rush throws because he's a smart player and he's an instinctive player. And so I could see Xavier Rhodes really putting up a great year this year and potentially becoming a Pro Bowler again.
Kenny Moore is the other stalwart there, Steven, at corner at the nickel spot. It seems like to me, I mean, he keeps getting better every single year. That contract extension they signed a year and a half or 2 years ago, looking even more like a steal every time we see it. Just the value on him is so good for what they have right now. Kenny Moore is such a vital piece to this defense where it's really Leonard, Buckner, and Moore as kind of your trio there on each level of the defense. What's your opinion of Kenny Moore heading into 2021 where hopefully he finally gets the respect he deserves and becomes a Pro Bowler in 2021? He's deserved it the last couple of years.
Yeah, first I want to take a second to apologize because I did not mention Kenny Moore in my top five defenders for the Colts, and I should have. He's like number three right there behind Buckner, Leonard, and then Moore. Kenny Moore is the best slot corner in the NFL. I feel very confident saying that. He doesn't get the recognition that he deserves. He's worth every penny, and he continues to get better every single year. He continues to become more of a leader in that defensive back room. And I'm just really excited for what he can offer the Colts this year if he can stay healthy. He should get the recognition he deserves. He should be put in as a Pro Bowler this year. He should have been a Pro Bowler last year. He deserves all the accolades that he can get. He's such a great player, and I love Kenny Moore. I think he's a great player.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch Kenny Moore this year and the steps he takes. He gets better every single year, so that's the super exciting part about a guy like Moore's development. But last thing here on defensive backs, and I think it's honestly the biggest question hanging in the training camp for this Colts team, is the CB2 boundary spot opposite Xavier Rhodes. You have Rock Ya-Sin, TJ Carey, Marvell Tell returning from an opt-out year. Carey kind of took Ya-Sin's role in the last few weeks of the season last year. They re-signed Carey, of course, so it's going to be really a training camp battle between those three guys. And it's a big, big step here for Rock Ya-Sin. If he cannot prove to beat out Carey and Tell in training camp and preseason, I'm kind of worried about Rock. I mean, he's going to be on the roster this year, but, I mean, this is a huge test for Rock Ya-Sin to show he's making that leap here in year three.
Yeah, it is. It's a big, big opportunity for him. He's going to get the opportunity to compete there for that cornerback too, and that's all you can ask for. He's one of those guys that I believe puts in the work. And so hopefully he's gotten better each of the past 2 years. So it's really tough to see him struggle at times because he plays a great game and then has one play that everybody remembers because it happens in the fourth quarter on, you know, a drive that the other team really needs. He's gotten better. If he can just not be so handsy, I think he's got a lot of potential to be a top cornerback. He will have competition, though, because like you said, TJ Carey came in and basically took his job at the end of the season. And then you've got Marvell Tell returning from the year off after COVID. And going into the end of his rookie year, Marvell Tell was taking those snaps as the boundary corner. And so he's going to get that opportunity again. Don't sleep on Isaiah Rogers either. I know he's a little bit smaller, but and more so plays the slot and is a return guy. But the Colts have four quality depth guys at the cornerback position. Outside, four guys basically able to compete for that cornerback too. And I don't think it's a marked difference between any one of them. I think Rock has the more pure talent than anybody else. But if you know, Marvell Tell or TJ Carey outworks him, I think they're going to get the opportunity.
Wrapping things up here, Steven, we've now gone through and finished up this entire defense, the whole offense, really this entire roster for the Colts as we are on the precipice of training camp beginning tomorrow. Now getting through every single position and diving in depth like we have over the last couple of weeks, what's your opinion now of this Colts roster as we enter into training camp?
I mean, the roster as a whole is, I still think, is probably a top five roster in the NFL. Top five, top 10 in the NFL, easily top 10. They're going to have every opportunity to win the Super Bowl this year. If they can stay healthy and they can avoid any kind of injuries or any kind of medical issues, I think that they've got a real opportunity to win the AFC South. And if they can win the AFC South, then, you know, they've got that home game. They could potentially, you know, make their way into the AFC. You look at, you know, Kansas City, and I honestly think that they upgraded their offensive line from what they were a year ago based on the signings that they had. So I don't see Patrick Mahomes getting run like he did in the Super Bowl against Tampa Bay. But I'm not afraid of Baltimore. You know, I'm not afraid of Tennessee. I honestly don't think Tennessee's that good. And Titans fans can go ahead and record that. That's fine. I don't care. The Miami is up and coming. Outside of that, like, you know, what, Las Vegas, what, Derek Carr is going to be, what, either a top 10 DVOA quarterback, or he's going to be a bottom 30. Like, I don't know where he's going to be, but they give up a ton of points. So the AFC, the only team really that's there is Kansas City right now. Unless if a team comes and kinds of surprises us, Buffalo, I forgot to mention Buffalo and Cleveland, they're both solid teams, but again, they're beatable. And the Colts almost beat Buffalo last year with no pass rush and Phillip Rivers at quarterback. And a bunch of drop balls, a bunch of mental mistakes. I think that this year the Colts are more talented and they got better at positions where they really needed to get better at. Specifically the defensive end position. So I think this roster as a whole is probably a top 10, easily a top 10 roster in the NFL. Could be a top five, but I think they're going to have every opportunity to win the AFC South, and I think they will.
Steven, a lot of fun as always having you on, man. Go ahead and follow him if you've not already, Colts fans, on Twitter at NiceReadSteve, and go read and listen to his work. He's going to have something special coming here soon on Stampede Blue as well. We'll let him do the announcement here when his first iteration of it drops here, I would imagine, later this week. But, Steven, always enjoy having you on. I imagine we'll be having you on again a lot more frequently as we can now get into Colts football here for the next 5 to 6 months. Appreciate the time tonight.
All right. Thanks, Evan. Have a great one.